This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Okay, did I get you on the right one?
This time you did.
Okay. You know what? I only have one number for you, so you may want to check the setup. If you have it on a phone tube, it may be set up to ring one.
Sometimes it goes to the phone first, and there's what I have to do is turn the phone one off, and then it comes through okay.
For some reason, I got a new Skype version this week, and I didn't ask for it, so they plugged it in there somewhere. And there's some new options in there, I think, involving that too. So check it over. I'm still got to
review it all. I saw a little surprise myself.
Everybody, welcome aboard. We're live here with Professor Tom Mack. It's good to be with everyone tonight. And again, we're back in full marathon mode beginning tonight. Quick announcement. I took down my Facebook for the upteenth time. I don't like their policies on my ability to be able to remove a post and activity. They only let me remove 10 per day, so I said the hell with them, and I just went ahead and shut down the account. It's just frustrating. So if you see me up there, if you don't see me more, I didn't unfriend you. I just shut the whole account down. Turned out to be a distraction for me anyway, so here we are. We also do not have a YouTube channel, if you're wondering. YouTube banned me twice, and the third try, I just thought, you know, what the heck, I'll find another platform, because you invest time to build it up, then they pull the plug on you. So we're not on YouTube or Facebook for Omega Man, but we are on some new platforms, and to find out about those, go to OmegaManRadio.com. I just updated it this week. We got picked up by Amazon Music, and you can find some new links up there maybe you haven't seen before. Just familiarize yourself with is what I want to say, if you haven't looked at it in a while. Okay, those announcements out of the way. Professor Tom, do you want to open us up in prayer?
Yes, I do. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we come before you. We just lift up this program tonight. Very important information that we want to share. And I pray that every word I say is what you would have me to say, and that everything we hear are things we need to hear. This is a dangerous time, and we need to know what's really going on in these last times. We just thank you that things are working tonight. In Yahushua's name, amen.
I say amen. Again, Major Tom could not be with us tonight. Please pray for him, and we hope to get him back on soon. Professor Tom, the mic is yours.
Okay. One thing I was been sort of shocked at how the crypto market has jumped up. We will have to do a program maybe later this week.
Oh, yeah. I will say this. There's a lot of crazy things going on. There's a new coin out there. It's called Shiba Inu. That's the name for that dog that Doggy Coin's based on. And, you know, people made millions of dollars on Doggy Coin. Well, this Shiba Inu is new, and I think they're trying to be the next Doggy Coin. And you can buy a couple million of the coin for $100. I think if you got $100 out there laying around somewhere, might not be a bad purchase. I bought $100 worth, and I will tell you, I saw it 2x. It doubled yesterday, so I doubled my money. Went back again, made another $100, and I thought, how far will this go up? So I saw it in real time, make the jump. There's a lot of robot traders working to manipulate this, but I put another $100 on there, so I may just hold that long term. Who knows? It could make you $1 million down the road. Or not. We don't know.
The biggest thing I'm finding right now is I found quite a market in being the currency that that banks want to trade in and they want to move their money in. Because moving dollars is a frustrating deal. And the technology, sadly, dates back to the 1980s. So if you go to the bank and want to transfer a wire transfer, one, they're going to hit you with fees, and two, it's going to take a day for it to get there. With crypto, if I want to send Shannon money, he'll have it before the show's over. That's how fast it is, and that's with the slowest ones. What I'm looking for right now are the fastest ones. And suddenly I think a few other people are too. Because last night, Stellar Lumens went up quite a bit. Well, the last couple of hours, they've been taking profits, but that's how these guys work. You make a little bit, you take it off the table. And that's how it works. And
Did you see Ethereum make that jump over $4,000?
Yes. Not surprising, because it's becoming a lot more flexible platform than what Bitcoin ever was. In fact, when Bitcoin started, they thought they'd be the only platform. But then this little thing called Ethereum went jumping, and it jumped, and the one I can't figure is why Ethereum Classic jumped even more. It's an older platform, not near as flexible. I think it's a spike, and I would be a little cautious of it.
I remember when Ethereum, ETH, as it's so known, was around $200. That was 2016. Well, 5 years later, it's at $3,900 right now, hitting $4,000. I was looking at the 24-hour volume, Professor Tom. $62 billion of trades against Bitcoin, $71 billion. Of course, Bitcoin is $55,000 a coin. Some are saying Ethereum may overtake Bitcoin. What do you think?
Possibility, but it would take an incredibly major quantum leap in the market for that to happen. And I don't know that even Ethereum's designers ever had that in mind when they first started out. I think they just wanted to have a good platform for people to build off of, and that's worked.
So many new coin projects that are being created on the Ethereum platform, just about everyone I see now, I'm looking, it was created as an ERC-20 token. Now Binance mm-hmm. is doing the same. Tron, of course, you can build tokens there, and then all these new projects just popping up, and they're being traded over on these like PancakeSwap, Uniswap, SushiSwap. I got to get smart on that, but every day new things are popping up. And, you know, I'm not laughing anymore at anything, because that Dogecoin, doggy coin, as I like to call it, you know, I mean, you could buy it, it wasn't even a penny, and it made people millionaires. So when I saw this Shiba Inu that you can buy for 000, is that, there's 4 zeros, 3361. 100 bucks will buy you a couple million coins. I say, man, I'm throwing 100 bucks on that. Who knows? It just may go crazy. I mean, it could become the next meme. Millionaires were made off of Dogecoin. No one's laughing anymore.
Well, this thing that happened with it, turned out Elon Musk bought a huge block. And then what does he do after he buys a huge block? He goes on Saturday Night Live, which I haven't watched in probably 20 years. But I watched it, and suddenly he's disparaging it on Saturday Night Live. Suddenly that's why it went down quite a bit the next few days. And it's, but what's weird is it's starting to come back up.
It's 45 cents as we speak. That's nuts. Now, if you don't have
Dogecoin... What I'm wondering is, if Elon didn't disparage it on his program to get the price down so he could buy in cheaper.
Yeah.
It's a negative pump.
I don't own any Dogecoin. But I will tell you, I did it one time, and I was stupid. I sold it. I had a million coins, you know, bought for a couple hundred bucks. But I don't have Dogecoin now. And if I have an option, buy one of those at 45 cents or buy a Shiba Inu and get thousands for the same price, you know which one I'm going to be buying.
Well, as I say, I want to see the business plan of these things. Because that's important to me.
They don't have any business plan. It's just a pump and dump, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. And that's what I was afraid of with Dogecoin is, yes, a lot of people are going to get millionaires. But when this, my old man talked about a thing called shearing the sheep and how they'd run up a stock, and when they got it so high, then all the big boys would dump it. And then all the people who had bought it at the high suddenly have nothing. And the sheep got sheared. That's what I worry about with something that goes up too high.
Oh,
one of the things that I worry about when I have this on my little sheet that I measure these things with is when I start seeing a standard deviation on a 34-day moving average of over 100%, that's when I realize somebody is manipulating that market, and that's not a good market to get in, because when somebody manipulates it, it's going to eventually crash.
Well, it's all being manipulated. Take Dogecoin, for example. People were texting me last week. They said, you know, Elon Musk going to be on the show Saturday. Should we buy? And I said, no. But I said, understand this. There's 28 whales, basically 28 of the wallets out there for Dogecoin, controlled like over 50% of the coin. And I was thinking, you know what? It only takes one of those guys to dump, and it's like a big whale splashing its tail. It creates that ripple effect, send you a tsunami, and the price would be crashing. It's too late to buy Doge, in my opinion. Maybe some want to take a risk, but definitely know that there are people manipulating. I was on a particular exchange yesterday, Tom.
Yes.
And this particular exchange, I saw before my eye all these buys and sells being put in. I couldn't even keep up with them. They were moving so fast. And then I realized what I was looking at, trading bots. Trading bots are alive and well in the crypto space. And this is software you run. You put in the parameters, and it will execute buys and sells at the speed of light. And it was just a bot war going on.
And these things were going at it and kind of stalemated the price. It wasn't pumping much. But even Coinbase has done that. I saw that also with Stellar. And know that there are a lot of manipulation going on, and there's a lot of people using bots, but not unlike our own stock market, that thing has been like that for years. Isn't that what high-frequency trading means?
Well, it started back in the 1980s as program trading. Worked great until a certain day in October of 1987. I was in graduate school at the time. And that whole day, all of us graduate students watched with shock as the stock market went down several thousand points in one day. Well, later on, we were to learn that this was program trading. And it's a kind of trading that proprietary traders engage in.
Program and, meaning like software program that you run?
No. Well, what it is, a proprietary trader is a trader that trades for his own firm. So if I worked for a big brokerage firm, I could be a proprietary trader and I could trade that firm's stocks and bonds, as opposed to a broker who works for you. I call up a broker and say I want X number of shares, and he will buy that share for me. And if, you know, I have a little program that I work from when I do that. And when that program says sell, I call the broker and tell him to get rid of it. But here's something that's interesting. What if I could find a way to get my trades in before without having to use a human broker? Well, that's what this is all about, is what can I do to automate my trading so my trades get in ahead of everyone else? Because I know other people are using a similar program to what I'm using, because I see it every time I start running numbers. Somebody has seen what I've seen and they've dumped. But they usually see it before I do, because I have to crank those numbers manually, whereas they have direct lines to the exchange and they pay thousands of dollars to get those numbers ahead of me, because it costs them a lot of money to do it.
Well, that's true. Proximity to the exchange gives them an advantage, but also I saw an interview, and the guys were forthcoming about this was at the stock market level. They said, hey, you know, it's a war, and he who has the latest technology and software wins. So they're constantly spending money on AI and research and development to get the latest and greatest trading bots. I mean, these computer programs can think faster, can execute faster than you and I can. And so when we say it's rigged, what I'm really saying here is, if you're not using the trading bots that they are and have the computing power, you know, you can still win, but understand they've got an advantage. And I saw it with my own eyes in the crypto world, and it's apparently legal. One of the platforms, you know, they encourage you to run trading bots. And I said, that's interesting. Maybe I'll throw $25 on a trading bot. Didn't really understand how it worked, but I thought, you know, lose $25, no big deal. And I hesitated, went back a few minutes later, and I got a message from this exchange. It said, because of the number of traders using the bots on this, your minimum entry is $500. So I didn't choose to do it at that point in time. Don't want to lose $500. Don't know what I'm doing. But I can tell you for a fact that these bots are a serious part of the crypto world. And there are people that, you know, manipulate the market to their favor using the power of the amount of coins they hold. And it's legal. They're just whales. There's some people that had you know, had the foresight to get in early on these projects, and they can control it to a large part. But I will say this. I will repeat it again, Tom, for this program. I've been saying it for years now. It's still true today. There's never been an opportunity to make money than I have seen with the world of cryptocurrency. Gold, you can be sitting on for 10 years and maybe make some money. Silver, the same thing. Stocks, very risky. I'm not getting involved in that. I don't know any other way to make money. And I actually believe that this is one option for the believers in the last days to actually get some extra income, potentially, to be able to fund the work of the Lord. Now, I will say this, caveat. If you don't know what you're doing, or you make a mistake, there is no forgiveness. You will lose what you put in there, and you have to do some investigation research before you jump into this. You can lose everything. So I'm not advocating that anybody go out and spend any money. But I am saying that this is an opportunity, and it's worth looking into. There's a channel, and then I'm going to give it back to you. It's called Crypto Banter. Tom, you know about it because I sent a link to you. But for those that don't, check it out. There's a guy on there. He runs a program on CNBC. It's called Crypto Trader. And he made several $100 million selling some advertising businesses. He got in crypto. He's not hurting for cash. But he loves the world of crypto, and he does some great programs. He started a YouTube channel. He has a guy on there named Sheldon the Sniper, who's a young guy, knew nothing about crypto, but he wanted to learn. And he said, you know, I'm sitting here every night watching movies, watching Netflix. I'm gaining nothing out of there except for a little bit of entertainment. And you know what? I'm not where I need to be financially. Why don't I turn off the TV and the movies, read a book, study crypto? And he went from $1,100. That's all he had. And he was going to be broke. And he changed what he was doing, invested time to learn about crypto, and turned it into millions of dollars. And he has a really tragic story about what happened to his father, a suicide, very sad, but because they were in such financial bind. But he was trying to work a way out that he could get his family out of debt and take care of his parents, and his father didn't live to see the day. But he cried on the program as he was giving his testimony, and I got to thinking, you know, that's actually profound. What are we doing with the time we've got? And I'm not saying you do these things and then just focus on crypto. No, we need to focus on the Lord first. Turn off the TV. That's turn off right. Netflix. Let's get in the Bible. Let's pray. But I'm saying, assuming you're doing that already and you put the Lord first, there is opportunities where you can know nothing about a space like Sheldon. And he applied himself, and he's one of the top pickers of currency right now. The guy's made millions of dollars. Many have done this. Don't let anybody tell you you can't, or it's too late. People were telling me that it was too late to get into crypto in 2015. They didn't know what they were talking about. They were just talking out of their butt. I'm glad I didn't listen to them. I'm glad that I'm continuing to try to learn. You know, I'm a novice when it comes to crypto, but I'm here to tell you, I'm seeing the very proof with my eyes that there is an opportunity here, and it may be the very thing to salvage many of us in these last days. Brother Tom, back over to you.
Okay, one of the things I will say to you is crypto may be the one fly in the ointment of ancient evil in these last days. That's one of the things I've started to realize. The royal families have tied up most of the money, but they can't get a handle on crypto, because if they had, they would try to manipulate the entire market. What they do is they attack certain issues, and that's what I've discovered. And if we can stay away from those things, that's why I stay away from Dogecoin. They're trying to manipulate it to discredit the whole thing, because they can't have it out there. They can't have us having a way to transfer money that they can't track. They can't have me, say, putting a bunch of money in Monero and sending it to Shannon to deal with the crisis he might be dealing with, or the other way around. He can't be doing it. That's why on my Bible Code site, I do take crypto, because it's a fast way to move money in these last times, that for some reason the enemy has not figured out how to deal with it. And it's, I don't know if they just think it's too inconsequential. I don't think it is, because I see how much Bitcoin's worth. And that's just one issue out of thousands. There's plenty of other places to go besides Bitcoin. In fact, Bitcoin has become a lumbering giant that's almost too big to move anymore. Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made in Bitcoin yet. I don't doubt it. But the trouble is, it will be the big players that make it. We need to go into the microcoins and start looking at how they operate, what their plans are, how can they build a better mousetrap. That's the easiest way to put it. And when we deal with ancient evil, which is what we're really doing, we're dealing with the very entity that has tried to destroy mankind literally for millennia. He tried at the time of Noah. He tried with Cain and Abel. To a point he succeeded because of Cain. He tried again with the Tower of Babel. We've studied that in the past. Now it's time to start taking some of these things that we're studying and become practical with it. And as I study this, I look a little more practically. I got to see what's behind the hype and is there anything? Because one of the things that happens in trading is many times people get caught up with the hype and they don't understand what it is they're investing in. You go back to the 19th century in England, there was these two guys that said, we have this secret investment and it's going to make everybody millions. And they started printing leaflets and passing them around in all the exchanges and in all the financial centers. And people invested in this thing like crazy because of all the promises that were made about how much everybody was going to make. Well, what did these guys do? They took all the money and split for the continent, and nobody ever saw them again, and everybody was out their money because it was all hype. Nobody bothered to ask, how do you intend to do this? How are you going to make all this money you're talking about? Nobody asked the important question. And so guess what? These guys made themselves their own million at the expense of investors. So that's why it's important when you're in crypto, start reading those white papers. And if you can't understand them, one, it could be because they're writing mumbo jumbo, or two, they do have a good idea, but unless you're really tech savvy and have studied it, you don't know what they're trying to do. I'm a little fortunate. My MBA is in information systems management. I understand a few of these things, and what I don't understand, I look it up and study. And I don't mind asking these places questions. And because of who I am, they feel it's important to answer my questions. Because they're afraid that if I get on a program like this, I will not give them a good review. So they're very careful. That being said, one of the things we have to do in these programs is start to study ancient evil. Because the things they did in the past are what they're going to be doing in the future. And that's one of the things nobody does when they study the Bible. They don't understand that Genesis is not only our history, it's our future. And what happened in Genesis is going to happen again. When I first heard Win Worley say that, I was a little stunned. I was a very young man then, just fresh out of college, and I was working my first job. Heard him say that, and I realized what he was really saying. And I started to wonder, what does that mean, Pastor Wynn? And sadly, he died in 93 on New Year's Day. And we never really got to know. Sad to say, he was an old man. He wasn't going to live to see this. And it's unfortunate in a way because the fighting spirit that man had is not something we see too much of today. Another thing I would say about his history was when he was in the army, he got sent to a place that most guys never wanted to go. In the army, if you got sent to China in World War II, that was absolutely the worst place you could go. Nobody wanted to go there. And people would beg to not go there. But not Pastor Worley. Pastor Worley saw it as an opportunity to reach the Chinese with the gospel. That should tell you something right there. It also will tell you why our Heavenly Father didn't mind sharing revelations with him, because our Heavenly Father knew that this man could be trusted. Because if you're faithful in small things, you will be. If you're faithful in small things, you will be given much more. And that was evident with him. I forget how many books he wrote, something like 14 or 15. And yes, I know a lot of them. He was more an editor than a writer. But he became a way to get information out. It's sort of sad he never got to see the internet. I can't imagine what he could have done if he'd known what the internet was and how to use it. And honestly, even somebody like me who's studied this entire field, still I wonder how to get things out. And sadly, the world does a better job of it than we do. That being said, we need to understand a little more about how ancient evil is working in these last days. And we'll go through part of this presentation. I've put it up on Major Baird's site, and we will study it. We have an ancient evil website, ancient-evil.org, O-R-G. If you go there, I've started to put much of this up. And sad to say, what ancient evil specializes in is keeping humanity ignorant. I quoted the first quote in the PowerPoint is, "Here begins Homo ignoramus. He does not know what life is or how it came to be and whether it originated from inorganic matter." Interesting quote from Emmanuel Velikovsky. He wrote a book called Worlds in Collision. It was a bestseller back in 1950. And Velikovsky has been criticized by countless astronomers, yet in the end, who proved to be right? Velikovsky. Because all these astronomers said, oh, it's not possible for an asteroid to crash into a planet. Then suddenly the Shoemaker-Levy comet crashed into Jupiter. Velikovsky was right, and all these other astronomers were wrong. And later on, we put out a book by Olaf Hagee, Typhon, Reaper of Worlds. And Olaf has taken a lot of what Emanuel Velikovsky first developed and taken it to places we never thought. Because Olaf, in many ways, is just as brilliant as Velikovsky. Sad to say, he's not here either. But we're putting out his books as quickly as we can. And we've put out two of them. On the Trail of the Harlot, which talks about the Harlot Church. And we've put out Typhon, Reapers of Worlds. And both of them have ancient evil embedded within them. Because Olaf knew about it. And his last project, which he didn't get to finish, was Ancient Evil. And we had lots of discussions about it as he was developing all this. And sad to say, he never lived to finish it. And so we've been trying to do it here. But Velikovsky pointed out the problem. Ancient evil seeks to keep us ignorant. Almost everything we're seeing the left do these days is intended upon degrading education and degrading knowledge, because they want to replace real knowledge with programming, fake knowledge. Just like what they did in the Soviet Union, what they're doing now in communist China. When Chinese students come over here and they start seeing how we think, they begin to realize they've been had by their own government. And it was interesting when I taught college. Sometimes Chinese students would come into my office and start asking me about conceptual things. And they began to realize everything they were taught had their communist indoctrination built in. Whereas they began to realize that here in the United States, that indoctrination wasn't built in, but is starting to be built in now. That's why you got to be very, very careful where you go to school these days. And sometimes I wonder if college is even worth it anymore. And that's a sad thing for a former college professor to say. But that's why I have programs like this one, to try to help people to understand the real truth behind what's going on in this world. And if you can handle it, Worlds in Collision is on Amazon. You can buy it. But I will warn you, it is a rather deep book to read. I've read through it 4 or 5 times, and each time I read it, I still learn stuff. Also in the PowerPoint, and I would play them on this program, but Shannon gets in trouble every time I do. So you will have to see these for yourself. And you can get them on the PowerPoints.
Well, don't worry about that going forward, because we've already been banned on YouTube, so it wasn't because of you, but we've got nothing to fear anymore. They can kiss my buttocks. So we'll speak the truth, show the truth, and let the chips fall where they may, and if we lose one platform, we'll go to a next one. So when you're ready for your next PowerPoint, we'll crank up that Zoom again. If you're just joining us, we're live with Professor Tom Mack. Tom, keep going.
Okay. As I said, one of these nights, we'll go through this again. But I will go through this scripture by scripture, and we'll play the videos. But if you want to see them beforehand, before we can get them on the program, we need just download them off of Major Baird's site, liveontheedge.com. And go to the videos and just go to 2021 programs. And if you go to tonight's date on there, you will see where you can download the PowerPoint, even in PowerPoint format or PDF. However, I don't know if the videos will pass through on PDF, because there's been some issues on that. And if that becomes a problem, I'm going to start taking these videos and putting them there for people to download in addition. And I just came up with that idea about 2 seconds ago. And we'll see just what we find. One of the clips is from the Code Conspiracy, a B-movie that never really made the theaters, but it's still an interesting movie. And little did I know is they were, some of that was based on my life. And
one of these days,
a friend of mine,
I want to hear your testimony.
Yes, we need to do that some evening. And but what happened, we have this movie out there, and it's still copyrighted, or I would go ahead and put it up there and let everybody download it. But I could see very quickly where I could get in a lot of trouble. However, I will one of these days put up the Code Conspiracy trailer. I actually have it up already on YouTube's, and it's been up there for years. Just go to John Van Helsing's site or YouTube page, and it's on there. You can watch it along with some of the others I've put up on the website. But this is something that the devil has hidden. Yet, it's interesting that if you go to the book of Genesis, we see that our history has been enumerated in quite a bit of detail. The biggest thing is that in Genesis 1:26, it's very clear, and Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created him. Male and female created he them. That's so we can procreate and have children. And then the children can have children. But then the most important thing comes in Genesis 2:7. "And Yahuwah Elohim formed a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And ever since that time, the devil has tried to take the soul of man from man. The book of Job is all about the devil wanting Job's soul. But the only way he could get it is if Job would give it to him. And Job said no repeatedly throughout the book, despite all his friends saying it isn't worth it, give up. You might as well just give it up because you're a sinful man. No, you might as well give it up because you've been judged and life isn't worth living anymore. But Job understood there's a higher cause of living, and it was important for him to keep his soul. Someday we'll have to have a program on the soul, and that'll be another late night one. But the soul is where it all counts, and that's where the devil wants to go with every human being. So he wants to strip that soul out, because once he can do that, he can put demons in people, and suddenly we have some of the crazy things we're seeing people do. Because to get into all these organizations, whether they be left wing, right wing, the important thing they do is they give their soul to the cause. And since the devil has both sides of the equation, suddenly people are doing crazy things because of that. The best example is Antifa, which we have discussed on this program in the past. And these people do things that people would not normally do, except that they have given their soul and in exchange gotten demons that act out every emotion of the soul. And suddenly they're doing horrible things, disgusting things. And so, as I said, the book of Genesis, especially chapter 2, goes into extreme detail about our beginning. And we learn, one, that, and Yahuwah Elohim said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So, what does he do? Adam crashes, and while he's crashed, Yahuwah takes one of his ribs and uses that rib to make a woman. He could have just made a woman, but it's important that the woman was taken from the man, and then she was brought unto him. And it's interesting, it's a rib, not a head to rule over him, or a leg for the man to rule over her. That's one of the biggest things that irritates me when I see a lot of preachers misteach submission. Submission is always to the will of our Heavenly Father. And if the man is in disobedience, she has no obligation to be submitted to him. But I would caution women, make sure that he's out of the will of our Heavenly Father before you start deciding to rebel. Because the spirit of Jezebel is always waiting. And it wants to destroy the family priesthood. So, interestingly enough, the set of verses ends with, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You get married, You're one flesh. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you sleep with a harlot. You're one flesh with that harlot. And in deliverance, one of the most common problems deliverance ministries have is when they get some man who's been in bed with multiple women, or some woman who's been in bed with multiple men. And what happens is you share your soul with every woman you sleep with, guys. And ladies, you share your soul with every man you sleep with. Therefore, it's important in deliverance to recover the souls. And I still remember to this day Dr. Hager telling a story about how they spent an entire evening in deliverance. The woman used to be a prostitute for the mafia. And they spent an entire evening casting out the souls of every man she slept with. And he even admitted they still had a lot of work to do. I think he was hoping that the ministry would continue this work after he left. And I'm praying they did. This is an important part of deliverance that needs to happen a lot more than it does. And it also is going to mean that you're going to have to confess some sins if you're going to get delivered. And then we get to the end, or towards the middle of Genesis 2:9, and we meet where we see two trees in that garden. One is the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, but also there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is something most people don't analyze enough. What is the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And what it is it's making man his own God. He's making man an Elohim. And in Genesis 3:5, the serpent tells Eve, for Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Because that's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil does, is it opens up a part of us. Why do you think Yahushua always told us about the innocence of the child? And to be like the child. Because a child depends on his parents to tell him what's good and what's evil. We need to do the same thing here. We need to have our Heavenly Father tell us what is good and what is evil. And not to try to figure it out for ourselves. Because invariably we're going to make mistakes. And as goes in the story, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She spot the sales pitch the serpent was telling her. So what does she do? She takes the fruit thereof, which I believe is a grape, by the way. And in the Bible codes, you can find that out pretty easy. But she took the fruit thereof and ate it, and gave it unto her husband, and he did eat too. It's even worse for the guy because he didn't question it. Where'd you get this fruit? But he trusted her. And that would be a problem later on, is He trusted her, and she broke that trust. And then we get to Genesis 3, 6, and 7. Their eyes were opened. They knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, just like the Masons do to this day. Because the Masons think that if you get into this secret order, the further on you go in the Masonic order, the more, quote, secret knowledge you learn. But it's interesting. When I talk about evil, the most interesting thing is that Satan is not mentioned until the 359th chapter of the Bible. It's not even discussed in the Torah. The devil isn't even discussed in the Torah. What is mentioned is this evil, using evil as a proper noun. But if you go through the Bible codes, Satan is frequently found. He's there, but he's working behind the scenes. I've had different scholars tell me different reasons why he's not mentioned. But I think the biggest one is the fact that he's just one of many evil forces that they have created. And it's important to understand ancient evil is a spiritual being. And I could do a Richard Burton quote, but we'll spare that one tonight. But the serpent, we need to understand a few things about him. He could walk. He had hands. He had mental capabilities. And maybe the most important thing from Eve's own statements, she was attracted to him. You know, be careful who you're attracted to. That attraction may not be a good one.
Brother Tom, heads up, 2-minute warning.
Uh-oh. So, what I'm going to do tonight, we've started on this, maybe we got a little tangled up in crypto, but we will continue this in the coming weeks. Because we're still on the trail of that.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Keep going.
We're still on the trail of the beast. And the beast is the one thing ancient evil has set up in these last days to get the soul of every human being, if they possibly can. And I'm going to leave it there tonight.
My friend, give out your contact information. How do people reach you?
Okay. The easiest way is just to go to the last page, or next to the last page of the presentation, and you will find my email address, tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org, and you'll find all my websites, and you will also find some of the books. Cyber Love's Illusions, the two books we did on that, 21st Century Warfare Prayers, Typhon, Reaper of Worlds, and On the Trail of the Harlot, both of those by Olaf Hagee. Also, hopefully this summer, the Tesla Curse is finally out. And maybe this summer, if we get some resolution on things, the Huebner Mysteries will be out. But there's a lot to be done with that. And maybe on some really late night program, we'll talk about Huebner.
Fantastic. I want to encourage you all to get over to Tom's website. Brother Tom, what do you want to title tonight's segment?
Oh, boy. Cryptocurrency. Yeah. Cryptocurrency versus the beast system.
Got it. My friend, God richly bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Folks, stand by as we set up for our next show. What we're going to do is reset. Stand by.